Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good morning. Big greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, fathers, we go into your word this morning. We're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to open our hearts and our minds, Father, to be receptive so that we, Father, can learn the meaning and the truth of this, thy word, so that we can walk in righteousness, Father, here upon this earth, and make heaven our home when we step out of this life, Father, and into eternity. Now, Father, we pray for this ministry. We pray that it will continue to reach out and reach others, and that they will be others that will be able to come out of darkness into the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, because of the words that are spoken. So we're asking the Holy Spirit to be with us to speak, Father, so that the words are not mine, but yours, spoken with authority that is your power and not man's. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, we're in the fourth chapter of James. So, beginning here with verse 1, it says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. You kill and desire to have. Pardon me. And cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet You have not because you ask not. Now, 3. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. You know, when we take a look at those 3 verses there, this can lead us back to where chapter 3 ended by stressing the peace that results from heavenly wisdom. Now James emphasizes the strife so common among his readers, stemming from their unsatisfied, selfish desires instead of wrestling with God in prayer. These believers are striving with one another. In other words, they are depending on each other and arguing back and forth about things instead of looking to God. We all need to be looking to Him for our answers. Now, we need to be spending a lot more time in prayer and in His Word. Now, 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, you know, as Israel was a spiritual adulteress, and James is calling Israel an adulteress because they were unfaithful to God, and so the church is a spiritual adulteress when she is the unfaithful bride of Christ. One cannot be both a lover of God and a lover of this world. Think about that. And he is telling you exactly what we have been told several times by others coming this forth. We're not to put our trust and our faith in this world and the things in it. Our trust and faith is to be in the Lord our God, in His Word. Now, 5. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And you know, although many believers, they believe that verse 5 refers to the positive ministry of the indwelling Holy Spirit, yearning jealously over the believer, the tenor of verses 4 and 5 is negative, speaking of man's envy. The good word, work of God, begins in verse 6 in contrast to 4 and 5 as the conjunction indicates. But he giveth more grace is literally greater grace. God gives grace that is greater than the world's attraction of verse 4 and the inner lust of verse 5. And so, can withstand both. You see, when we know the Word of God and what it says in telling you and I how we can live, and when we have the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Father with us, there is nothing we cannot accomplish or nothing that can come against you and I to make us fall. Now, we cannot stand alone and be able to stand against those things that will come against us. But with them, then there is nothing that we cannot withstand, push away from us. But it takes the Lord, the Spirit, and the Father to make us into what we need to be in order to be of help to others and to see things as we should see them. Now, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. 8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You know, therefore, the exhortations logically result from the conditions in verses 1 through 6. Resist the devil. Do not submit to, fear, or flee from Satan, but stand against him. And you know, we can't stand against him except that we have the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Father with us. Now, Satan cannot lead into sin against one's will. Draw nigh. God will not be unmoved. His welcoming response is always near. Hands and hearts, the cleansing of one's life must involve both outward deeds and inner thoughts. They've all got to be cleaned up. They will be thoughts that will come to us once in a while that shouldn't be there. But we get rid of them the moment they come, and we don't think about them anymore, and we sure don't act on them. We act maybe against them, but not on them. Now, Eleven. Speak not evil one of another, brother. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. 12, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. You know, this one is a fool, for he thinks he knows something that he doesn't. And he presumes he has the resources to control his destiny. He thinks he can control himself, by himself. And we cannot do that. Because on our own, we are absolutely nothing. And we need to understand that. It takes that power and the truth of Almighty God to give you and I the way, the means, and the strength to do what God has for us to do. 15. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And you know, this or that, this verse teaches that God does have something for Christians to do, and that they should plan accordingly. James condemns only elaborate planning that omits God. You see, omits God. And when we do that, we have no power at all to do anything, nor do we have even the wish and the means of doing it. Now, 15. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Now you understand why, usually at the end of these studies, you hear me say, you know, we have finished this chapter, that chapter, and God willing, we'll be picking up the next time with chapter so-and-so. God be willing. Because, you see, I know that if God's will is not for me to do that, I know it will never be done by me. That's something we must understand. We do not control, it's in control. Now, 16. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. You see, that's why we don't boast about things that will happen through us by the Holy Spirit. Now, we can boast about that if we give the credit to the one that did it, which most of the time is the Holy Spirit of the Almighty God. Now, we can boast in him and give him the credit that is due him, but we don't boast on or about ourselves, because you see, although we are a child of God and his son, We can only do those things that is according to His will for us. Now, 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. To do good here requires including God in one's plan. Omitting God is not merely bad planning, it is a sin. Now, you think about these things that we have read here and studied about here in chapter 4. And I think I really don't want to get into chapter 5 right now. I know that things are short. Chapter 5 is quite lengthy, and there is a lot in it. But I ask God, Lord, what do you want them? We're going to go ahead and start here in chapter 5. And we are not going to be getting all the way through it, I don't think, but wherever the Lord takes us to and leads us, leads off to this. You see, it's 20 verses, but a lot of them is full of a lot of things. All right. Chapter 1 and verse 5. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. James' common address is brother. It's not found once in this section. By contrast, it occurs four times in verses 7 through 12. James is now addressing wealthy, unsaved Jews who have poor Jews working for them, and they have mistreated the poor, so God's judgment will fall on them. He goes on here in verse 2, says, your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasures together, but for the last days. You see, but that's why that James is letting them know how wrong they are in the way they are treating those really that are working for them and all to get all of their gain and their wealth. Now, 4. Behold the hire of the labor who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath, meaning the Lord of the hosts. The scribes, the omnipotent average and character of the God who sees and hears this injustice. You see, God doesn't miss anything, and He sees the injustice of these wealthy that has these poor working for them, that they are mistreating on top of everything else. Now, 5. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he does not resist you. Now, letting us know there, and he's speaking to them, these wealthy men, letting them know they lived in pleasure on the earth. You know, he's also let them know about their sin and all. 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. The coming of the Lord. Few doctrines concerning Jesus Christ are taught in James's vicarious death and resurrection are omitted, yet Christ's return is cited to encourage patient endurance. Early in the latter rain, farmers in Palestine absolutely depended on 2 rainy seasons, late fall and mid-spring. 8. Be ye patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. You see, he's telling them all about it. Grudge not one against another, brother, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. We're not to hold anything against our brethren, because the judge is the Lord God, and he's at the door. What we do, what we say. 10. Take my brother, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Yes, and we do know that a lot of them suffered great things in order for God to use them. 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. We have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Now, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Above all things, James says, he's not saying that the pronouncement of oaths involved the greatest teaching in the book, but he connects it with verses 7 through 11 and as important instruments concerning the suffering of afflictions. And he admonishes believers not to curse or invoke God's wrath on those who mistreat them. Now, 13, listen to this. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, you see, we are told how to pray for the sick. Right there, he's telling us how. 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. We have had healings done here in this ministry just that way. Now, and those that are with me most of the time, they know that. They know them. They know even who it was. Now, 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Think about that. That can availeth much, your prayer. You know, there is a lot of mankind that leaves this out because they have not grown strong enough in the Lord to use any of this, and it don't work for them, so they don't want to believe that it really works for anybody. And there again, we have to watch even in our footnotes to see if our footnotes line up with the Word of God or if they don't. Now here in the footnote 4, that verse right there, 16, in the footnote of my study Bible, the prayer of faith does not include a gift of healing. It does not exert extraordinary spiritual strength. Otherwise, all spiritual Christians would be healthy, but nor does it merely involve the ritual of verse 14. The prayer of faith discerns God's will and preserves until it is accomplished. God's will, however, is not to heal in every case, and true faith can disconcern and accept that. But you see, that's not what it said. But you've also got to understand that there are times that God does not heal when asked to do it. But he has his reason and his purpose for it. But he will give that one strength. And he'll be with him to go through whatever it is. You see, you have to be very careful and let the Holy Spirit guide you and give you the greater understanding of God, of this word. Now, 17. Elijah was a man subject to like passion as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. 18. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. You see, he's talking about fervent prayer. That is prayer that is in order of the Word of Almighty God. Now, And we should always pray that way. We pray according to the will of Almighty God. And that is within His Word. 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one converting, 20. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. We have now come to the end of chapter 5 and the end of the book of James. And God willing, we will be going in to 1 Peter, into chapter 1 this evening, according to God's will. Now, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we have closed up your word, Father, we thank you for this word. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that for all that will hear this message this morning can receive it, Father, and accept it as being true in their lives and in lives of others, that they will be led to talk with, Father, and to share the word of Almighty God with. Now, Father, we pray for Israel and Jerusalem. We pray for peace for them. And Father, we pray also for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. Father, we're praying for those that are called the lost tribes of Israel that are in dire need, Father. They are some out there that, Father, they have nothing at all. They're starving. They have no medical help. They are in need. They've not heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for them. And I pray for those now that are reaching out to them, that they can continue, Father, in reaching them and helping them. Because they are also, besides the physical help, Father, they are taking the Lord Jesus Christ to them also. Now, Father, this land of ours, I pray for it. I pray for those that have brought all this evil upon us to be relieved from office and to be replaced, Father, by those that are yours, that love you, love the Lord Jesus Christ, love your church and love your people and love this country. And will work with us, Father, to put this land back upon our government, upon the foundation it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, keep us through this day. Keep us in health. Keep us safe. And Father, bring us back together again this evening and back into your word. This, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Have a great day now. Bye-bye.